Good evening, gang. Thanks for being with me. This is our first Acts Rewind as we began the book of Acts this past Sunday. And by the way, it was great to be with you guys. Things are feeling more and more normal all the time in these crazy days that we live in. But it was good to be with you and good to share some fellowship time outside. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Acts. Let's go to our passage that we began on Sunday, Acts chapter 1. And let's read just a few verses that we were able to cover on Sunday. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach, and the day when he was taken up, after he had given command through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the opportunity to get into the word together corporately. There's just something that is just beautiful about the body of Christ, the family that we have as a body of Christ coming together and opening the word together. Thank you for getting us through some difficult days and bringing us to this point. We pray for our brothers and sisters abroad, those in India, whom we have really attached ourselves to, or you have attached us to them, with Brittany and Laura and all of our brethren and sisters in the Philippines. And we thank you for the opportunities to minister internationally with our brothers here in the United States that are connected to all of our domestic work. Be with us tonight. Open our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us in your word. And we praise your name. Amen. I have found that as believers, we tend to establish, I think, a trickle-down discipleship model, one that is so oftentimes contingent upon a supposed hierarchy or a manufactured hierarchy of calling and church responsibility. In other words, how much I am to obey the word and what I am to do to further the kingdom of God is depending on where I fall in that imaginary pecking order, if you will. Now Matthew, and we covered this on Sunday, Matthew said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you." Now, I think we can easily dodge the bullet, if you will, by claiming that such an edict as that, well, that was just for the apostles. And at the most, it's for pastors and teachers and elders and, you know, missionaries in our current culture that we live in today. But the bottom line that we need to wrap our minds around this evening is that if we do not accept this concept as addressed to us, The ramifications for embracing that directive, we know, is often shunned, if you will, because of the impact upon my life. And if I don't receive that, I think that I am, in reality, picking and choosing what it is that God could say that will apply to my life. Because Scripture argues this often taken position. Now, mind you, that is assuming that Scripture holds the final word in your life. For the concept of spiritual reproduction not only is to be the normative practice of a faithful Christian, it is the reflection of one's true state. Because passion and zeal, gang, cannot be hidden. If you got it going on, it's going to come out. It's going to overflow in your life. Now, I realize that we can oftentimes attempt to dodge and weave our way through this imaginary maze of Christianity. But the reality is that while a walk in faith may not be easy, it's also not complicated. Christianity is quite simply a modeling of a life to be like our Messiah Jesus. It providing a body then for the Holy Spirit to come inside us, to dwell in us, to encompass us, to see the aspects of Christ made manifest in our lives. It means every aspect, everything of our lives then gets passed through that Holy Spirit sieve. Again, not easy, but not complicated. But the truth is this evening, most of humanity, and frankly, sadly, most of churchgoers also, tend to fill up their lives with just enough ATVs and boats and trailers and campers and hobbies and activities and vocational and financial pursuits, just enough of all that stuff that ultimately it takes virtually every waking moment of our lives to maintain that circus. And the results are that the things that God says are important, that God says are to be primary in our lives, all of that takes a back seat if they're in the car at all. What things am I talking about? Well, things like a regular communique with our Master, our devotions, our service, our church life, real quality time with our wives and our husbands and our kids. Listen, one of the things that has become so starkly evident these past few months is that some people just cannot seem to stop drinking down the world. Almost as if they did, they just might discover something about themselves that they don't want to see or they don't want to admit. So what do? Well, just keep running as fast and as far as they can in an attempt to outrun that truth. During our sequestered time a la pandemic, we have been forced to throw on the brakes on some level of our lives. And for some, such was the stuff of psychological meltdown. Because you see, now the truth is catching up with them, no matter how fast they try to run. And the result in that scenario was anger and bitterness, depression, anxiety, in an attempt to shift the blame, attempt to shift responsibility and accountability and its control from me into someone else. And then, of course, conspiracy accounts began to run rampant. Because to acknowledge that some random and simple issue happened along that stole my life and its control of my life from me in just a matter of weeks, well, that's just too much to wrap my mind around. No, no. We would never accept that. And so someone else is responsible for this sucky mess because it sure ain't me. And then, ironically, on the flip side of that, there were many amongst us who found that very little had changed in their daily practice of their lives. They continued to love and to spend time with those who were a priority in their lives. And for a lot of people, they even spent more time with God and more time in His Word. They utilized this respite from normality to reestablish their hearts and their minds and their lives and their priorities, to find out what was totally and absolutely important in their lives. But come on, I mean, when a guy can't make as much money, he can't pay for his boats and his cars and his campers and his ATVs. And if he can't get out, then he can't play with those things either. You see, when my people priorities are not biblically aligned to God's, then my relationship with Him and my church family and my direct family that's under my roof, what happens in that scenario is my stress level and my struggles become just a cesspool, quicksand that just begins to swallow me up. And then, what a mess. In the meantime, what happened to go and make disciples of all nations? Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. Because that directive seems to have fallen to the wayside. When I read that passage, when I read that couple of verses there out of Matthew, several things come into clarity for me. One of the focuses that I believe should be there is the word go. Now, if I'm going to go, that's going to require some priority aspects. And teach would require effort once again. And moreover, it's needs to be, teach that is, needs to be an example, a lifestyle to go along with any verbal aspects. So going is all fine and dandy, and that would require some movement and effort on my parts. But I think also I need to go and teach, and teach is something that must be manifested from my life, not just my words. No doubt, during all these difficult days, loving people on this kind of level, that's going to cost you. And it did. It cost these apostles who were listening to this original throwdown, and it does for us too. It would cost them their days, their possessions, their vocations, their extended family life. It was going to cost them everything. And then, eventually, they were each killed for their godly efforts and sacrifices. You see, as we covered on Sunday, those that God has used, both then and now, they essentially had two things going for them. According to this passage, one, these individuals that were being called forward that day, they were witnesses of the power and the glory of God. They weren't just classroom students, you know, sitting through a history lesson. They weren't just Sunday go-to-meeting pew sitters. These guys were actually troops on the ground, physical participants in the mission, and many of us, we know nothing about that kind of witness. We are in class on Sundays, and that's as close as we get to it. You see, these that were there to receive this, they hadn't just been told by someone that God was real and that God was all-powerful. They actually saw it for themselves. And secondly, they would now be baptized, submerged completely, overwhelmed with the living spirit of the Holy God. And this was not a snack issue, gang. This was a full-on feast. This speaks of a full control and absolute guidance and dependence upon the Spirit and His leading. Now, when I say that, I need you to be very careful with those words. And again, let me reiterate that. I said that what this is talking about is a full control. When we talk about engaging the Holy Spirit, a full control and absolute guidance and dependence upon the Spirit and His leading. And bearing that in mind, there still needs to be some care given here, because I need you to understand tonight that the Spirit will never, never lead you to operate contrary to the Word of God. I have heard it all over the years, and most of them multiple times. It kind of goes like this. God is guiding me to do this. God is leading me to do this. God is telling me to do this. When so oftentimes, if that is true, then the Bible is a lie, because in fact, the Bible is saying just the opposite. You see, when someone, you know, begins a sentence with "God told me," I got to admit, I mean, this little alarm goes off somewhere in my head. And at least it does when it fails to be followed with the phrase that's covering some Bible verse. In other words, if you tell me God told me, you better be giving me a Bible verse to back that up, all right? Now, certainly I know that many people see this voice of God speaking into their lives as the way the Christian life is supposed to work. And the idea therein is, if we are really in fellowship with God, we would be able to sense Him speaking to us through an inner voice, if you will. And I think on some level, that is true. I mean, indeed, God is speaking to His people today. And it's certainly, if that's not happening a great deal, it's not because God is incapable or that He's uninterested in speaking to His people. But generally, hear me, gang, generally speaking, God speaks to us through the Scriptures. And for sure, hear me now, for sure, He will never tell you to the contrary. And some people they try that game, saying, "Oh, Pastor, you know, God told me, you know, like I've never read the Word of God, or I wouldn't know that the Bible says just the opposite." Yet, people try it all the time. It should be noted that the filling of the Spirit is not necessarily marked by any particular feeling or a static experience. Now, that's important, because I think people are looking for the sky to fall and you know, suddenly it's Spirit-filled Chicken Little here. The real proof of a Spirit-filled life is in that life. The real evidence of being filled by the Spirit, in fact, is not really an experience at all. The real evidence is the spiritual fruit that is produced from a life so filled by the Spirit of God. So what does this fruit, what is this evidence of the Holy Spirit filling, what does it look like? In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul clearly describes what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. Let me read it to you, okay? It's in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 18, and you don't need to turn there. I'll just read it, okay? He says this, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another of reverence of Christ. So, what do we got? Our speech shows we are filled with the Spirit. Or shows that we're not. Our words is what we're talking about here. Our worship. Yes, yes, our singing, but also our lifestyle of worship, our thankfulness, our submission. All of it is in that passage that begins, be filled with the Spirit. So as we begin this book, this incredible book of the history of the beginnings of the church, we need to understand that the book of Acts is a record of the Acts, a record of the actions of these men and these women who would be so filled with the Spirit of God. It will be this diary, this journal, this record of what a life filled with the Holy Spirit looks like. So let me ask you tonight, could they include you in such a book? And if not, why not? How honest can you be with yourself? Is it because you're not Spirit-filled? Is it because you have not placed yourself in the realm where you can truly be a witness to the power and the witness to the works of your Creator? Too busy? Too distracted? Too bitter? Too angry? Too emotional? Too self-centered? What actions would preclude your inclusion in a modern book of Acts record? Finally, in the latter verses of our Sunday text, we read about the kind of out and left field questions that they were asking Jesus. Questions about the restoration of Israel, the timing and the events of such. And I think like so many of us, they were over in left field talking about the stuff that had nothing to do with what was happening. Nothing to do with the miraculous events that were transpiring over here. And that is also such a reality oftentimes when people seem to be obsessed with this thing or that thing or this feeling or this event, while the whole of the church is over here celebrating, witnessing the manifest of God in His actions and in His ways. And these over here, they're preoccupied. Many of them are preoccupied today. It certainly wouldn't be hard today, huh? Preoccupied and distracted by politics and human events and world events. All the while, God was present and ready to do something earth-shattering. All the while, God in flesh was right over here and engaged. Where are you this evening? That's the question. As we begin this book. Now, if you tuned in to be with us tonight, hey, thanks. It was good to have you. Many of you in this church are going to now go to small groups to dialogue this, and I cannot emphasize how important that is, because I do not want to pastor over a church where this is merely a relationship of monologue. I do enjoy and really encourage you guys to have that relationship and to have that practice of dialogue of the things of Scripture. It can be daunting. It can be challenging to do that because it's hard to hide. Some of you that are not participating in that, that's why you're not participating in that, because you're off somewhere hiding. And I would encourage you to seek the Lord and come in out of the cold. God is good and He's so forgiving. But I thank you for joining with us tonight. On Sunday, we'll be back in the book of Acts, chapter 1, to finish up the beginnings of this incredible letter. And God bless. And I pray that God is walking with you. May you be the witness that God wants you to be. And may you be in that place to truly witness the power of God. We praise you. He loves you. Amen. Amen.